And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Sounds like some great weather for the next few days for all of us who are involved in grape picking around the Yarra Valley. It's all happening again, that time of the year, the 2021 vintage. All very exciting, isn't it? Well, if you've only just joined us, you may have missed the first two parts of our four-part series on all things money. We've been talking the last two Thursdays on, well, money. We started off looking at scams and financial fraud and things like that, online in particular. Then last week we talked about financial abuse and elder abuse and those sorts of things, and got some great feedback about that. Thank you for those of you who did that. This week we're going to be looking at financial hardship. It's been tough. We don't need to tell you that. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough 12 months. It's been 12 months since I've worked in my office on the 9th of March last year. Hard to believe, isn't it? Anyway, it's been a year that none of us could have foreseen before. And with that comes hardship, comes tough times, comes a change in circumstances that often leads to pressure on our finances. So if you've listened to the last 2 weeks, you'll know that Vicky Senior is the branch manager of the community bank here in Wirriallick. Good morning, Vicky.
Morning, Bruce. Morning, everybody.
Wonderful to have you back. And you've brought one of your amazing team with you this morning, and that's Ingrid Wright. Hi, Ingrid.
Good morning, Bruce.
Wonderful to have you here with us too. And then on the Zoom call, all the way from New South Wales, we have the Executive Officer of Economic Justice Australia. Got to get that right because I'm still getting used to your new name, Leanne. But the Executive Officer from New South Wales, Leanne Ho. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning, Bruce.
And we can hear you really well there on the Zoom, so that's fantastic. And you're going to bring a very different perspective to our conversation as well. But let's sort of get ourselves in the space. Let's just open it up for sort of conversation. What are the things that can typically put people into a position of financial hardship? So what are the circumstances that can change? I mean, the bleeding obvious, of course, is things COVID. But what are some of the things, Vicky, that just sort of sneak up on us sometimes and put us in a difficult financial position?
Well, that's a really good question, Bruce, because often they're good things that happen to us in life that can put us into financial hardship. Yeah.
You better tell us a couple of those.
Well, some of the things that we see at the bank are having a baby. The additional costs that are associated, certainly with first babies, often new mums and dads don't always know how much they cost.
Yes.
And with that often comes down to going down to one income. And that can happen for a number of reasons. Obviously, having a baby can mean that one parent is at home. But also, there can be things such as injury, just being out of work. Jobs changing could affect income. Sometimes it's hours that change or actual jobs themselves. Being self-employed is a big one that we see at the bank. You may have a really, really good year with your business and then followed by a bad year. But the debts that we have calculated have been when, the going was good. So that's always a tough one. And overcommitting to loans and debts because of house prices. We all know that house prices are so high at the moment that getting into the market for anything less than $500,000 is a difficult one. So people do find themselves overcommitting and overstretching just to get into the housing market.
And of course, without sort of dwelling too much on COVID, we have had a couple of programs on that. Of course, there's also relationship breakdowns, aren't there, that can often lead to a change in family circumstances, or even, Vicky, the gambling and addictions that we talked about briefly last week.
Definitely. All significant life events that can happen very quickly. Bereavement, going into aged care. We talked about, obviously, the change of employment status, such as reduction in hours. But it can also be things that we haven't considered, like an emergency event or a natural disaster that can happen to any of us.
We might just go to you, Leanne. What typically I know you've got welfare rights centres all over the country. You've got every state and territory covered. What are the typical sorts of things that lead people, the circumstances that you are hearing from your team that result in people being in positions of financial hardship?
I came armed today with case studies that cover all of the situations that Vicky was just talking about.
There you go. We're going to have lots of stories today.
And in combination. So when any of those events happen, if you lose your job, if you lose a partner, if you get sick or you're injured or you have a mental illness that affects your ability to work, all of those things in isolation can lead to financial hardship. But when you have those things in combination, it makes it even worse and more likely that you'll spiral down.
Spiral down, that sounds a little ominous. We'll come pick that up after this first song, which is Billy Ocean's When the Going Gets Tough.
It's tough to get going, going, going.
Yeah.
And you're with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. We're enjoying the company of Vicky Senior, Ingrid Wright and Leanne Ho. We're talking financial hardship and, well, some tips and thoughts about that. But to whet your appetite for later in the morning, after 11 o'clock this morning, we have Art Journal. And, well, you're going to want to listen to this because it's the Trailblazers, the Woman of the Yarra Ranges, the display, the exhibition at the Regional Museum. And Cora is going to be talking with Lindy Schneider and Lynette, and you'll find out all about the Trailblazers, Woman of the Yarra Ranges. That sounds like it's worth listening into. And, of course, for those of you who do listen regularly, you'll want to complete our listener survey here. It's on our website at the moment, www.yarravalleyfm.org.au. It's an opportunity for you to give your feedback to shape the future of your community radio station. So there you go. Make sure you take, well, it's only 3 minutes. I did it the other night. So I, of course, said some good things about our program, as you'd imagine. No, just kidding. Let's talk about the last 12 months, because it has been tough. And obviously, COVID has put another big overlay on financial hardship and pressures of all kinds. And Leanne, I'm just wondering, through your oversight of all the welfare rights centres around around the country, what observations have you made around financial hardship, and are we seeing more of it, and are we seeing different causes? What's going on out there?
Yeah, obvious one is people are losing their jobs in the economic downturn, and most people know about that. But by assisting people who are having issues with Centrelink, we see some of the complexity in the circumstances that leads to financial hardship. If I can give you an example that draws together
a lot of the factors that
Vicky was talking about earlier. I mean, we had one case of a man who had a really serious workplace injury and got a compensation payout, which meant that he couldn't get Centrelink for a period of time, because of course we don't want people double dipping, which is fine. But a whole series of circumstances happened after that where, he lost the money he'd invested in his business in the bushfires.
Ouch.
And then his partner died, leaving him the sole carer for their child. So that also limited his work opportunities. And, of course, COVID hit, so it made it even harder for him to get a job. His stepdaughter developed a drug habit, which meant he had to support her through that and pay a lot of her debts. And by the time he reached us, he was on food stamps. And we're trying to help him now to get back onto a Centrelink payment, taking into account all these circumstances that have combined to put him in this desperate financial situation.
Wow, that is a horror story, Leanne. I'm thinking about each one of those successive things you've just shared with us. Vicky, as a bank manager, that's a pretty horrendous sort of story, isn't it?
It sure is, but it's not an unusual one. I mean, obviously, Leanne's told one there that's very extreme, but we hear similar scenarios quite often, really.
Leanne, how common is, perhaps not the extent of that story, we hope, but how common is, financial hardship, if we use that term? Are we talking 1 in 100 or 1 in what? How common?
Well, we have currently almost 2 million Australians who need support from the social security system because they're out of work. So that's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
And we just heard this week that the government is only raising the payments that they receive by less than $4 a day from what it was before the pandemic, which is $40 a day.
So which payment, just for listeners who may be confused, as I do sometimes, which payment are you talking of there, Leanne?
So most people might have heard of the job seeker payment, but this also covers other working age payments for people who are unemployed, like youth allowance and parenting payment.
Right. Yes. So that $40 a day was the going back was the old level, wasn't it?
Correct. And that was doubled during the start of the pandemic as a way of supporting people, but it's been gradually reduced back to now what's going to be $43.50 a day.
Ouch. And look, I know for those of you who want to support those who are arguing for this higher level, you can. There's lots of ways you can do that, but one of them I know is through the Australian Council of Social Services, ACOS, who have been championing this for some time, haven't they, Leanne?
Correct. We're supporting their call for it to be at least $65 a day, and I think most of us would struggle to live even on that.
Yes. Ouch. I better stop doing the sums here while I'm on air. But let's go to Ingrid over here and just see Ingrid. I'm wondering in your day-to-day role as the customer support person. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you, without mentioning any names, of course, but I mean, do you have people who are at the end of their tether? People who really just don't know what to do financially?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it is something we see quite regularly. People who are struggling to meet their standard payments or, if they've been fortunate enough to be able to make extra payments,
yeah,
their loans in advance a bit, and we can organise and just put off their payments for a little while. And they've got that surplus there to help them out. But, yeah, no, definitely see it.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what, you know, the banks have been doing during COVID, you know, in terms of support.
Our Mortgage Help Centre was really helpful in helping customers with their putting on hold their home loans for a certain amount of time during the start of the pandemic, which was great. Helped a lot of people just put their funds towards just their everyday things without having to pay their loans.
Great.
For a set time, which was great. It's now sometime for some people caused another issue at the end of that where their grace period is now up and they have to now commence making payments again, but their circumstances may not have improved yet. So, there's more hardship.
we're trying to get there, but sometimes people's circumstances are so dire, if we can say that, so tough that they just can't, you know, they can't get there.
Yeah.
We'll talk later in the program about, you know, debt consolidation and you know, some of the things we can do. But are there any other thoughts from any of you just in terms of painting the picture, around financial hardship? Are there things we haven't talked about that we should, in terms of causes and reasons that people find themselves, you know, in these difficult positions?
I think Vicky touched on it pretty well at the start with the things that can add the pressure and cause hardship, but it's quite and relatively easy process to come in and it's not an easy thing to talk about with somebody as like a bank manager, but it is something that we are there to help.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the sooner you come and get help, the easier, like,
right, be able to help you out. So don't delay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vicky, you were going to add to that.
Just that Ingrid's exactly right, and that the important thing is to get onto it early and also recognise that something we talked about in the last two sessions as well, these things can happen to anybody. Scams can happen to anybody, financial bullying can happen to anybody, and hardship can happen to anybody. And it's about not being embarrassed, getting on the front foot, and understanding that your solution may not necessarily be the same solution that your bank has. It may come down to, you know, you want to consolidate all your debts and put them into one payment, but the bank won't do that for you. And often it's just important that we talk about it early so that we've got more options available.
Mm. Is that music to your ears, Leanne? Should people get advice? Should they talk to someone earlier rather than later?
Absolutely. And one of the issues during COVID has been there've been less ways to access services, especially to financial counsellors, to social workers at Centrelink and people who would normally be able to get help from family and friends can't get that either because they're all so under financial stress. So a lot of the supports that people need just aren't there at the moment.
There you go. On that note, let's have a slightly lighter note and have a listen to Monty Python and see what he says about money.
I've got £90,000 in my pyjamas. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I've got lots of lovely lira. Now the Deutsche Mark's getting dearer and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a splash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money.
Money, money, money.
There is nothing like a newly minted pound.
Money, money, money.
Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that wakes the world around.
Round.
You can keep your Marxist ways, but it's only just a phase. For it's money, money, money makes the world go.
Thanks for joining us this morning for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. We're in part three of a four-part series looking at all things financial, all things monetary. We started off looking at online scams and frauds. Last week we looked at elder abuse, financial abuse, and this week we're looking at financial hardship, debt consolidation, and some of those amazing challenges. And here in the studio I've got Vicky and Ingrid, and on the Zoom line I've got Leanne, and we're talking, well, some of the real life examples of things that actually happen. And Ingrid, you were saying off air that you've got a personal story of your own that you'd like to, or I'm twisting your arm to share,
yes,
perhaps.
No,
there you go.
I do. So a personal experience of mine a few years ago with financial hardship. My husband is a sole trader, self-employed, so he does not receive holiday pay or sick leave. Unfortunately, he came down with a severe hernia. He could barely walk, let alone work, so he needed to have surgery to repair that as soon as possible. Who knew how long it would take to go through the public system? And we couldn't afford him to have that time off, so we had to pay for it to be done privately. So with the cost of paying a surgeon, anaesthetist, and the hospital, all while he was out of work, prior and post-op for recovery, and that threw us into financial hardship. So we were fortunate enough that we had a regular savings plan, putting money aside for both of our kids, our daughters, and we had a term deposit locked away in their names that was not to mature yet.
Yes.
And due to our hardship, we were able to access those funds early before the investment was up, which allowed us to pay for the medical expenses and still maintain our home loan and car loan commitments while he was out of work recovering.
Wow. Sounds like your non-day job should be you should be a juggler. Lots of things to juggle there.
Yes. Yep.
Excuse me. Yeah. Wow. Does that surprise you, Leanne Ho? Does that sort of story, does that surprise you?
Not at all. I think we're all just a couple of steps away from being in the position where we could be in financial hardship, which is why it's so important to have a system that's accessible to everyone.
Yes, certainly is. And the sad thing that I discovered when I first met you last year, Leanne, and we talked about these things, was that a lot of people are not aware of the support, the advice, the resources that they do have available to them, either through talking to their local bank or talking to their welfare rights centre, or as you said, a financial counsellor or something. Would that be true generally, that people are not really aware of what's available?
Yeah, we'd like people to be much more aware that they can come to one of our member centres and get advice about getting onto a Centrelink payment, or where they're having a problem with their Centrelink payment, or where they've got a debt to Centrelink. We deal with all Centrelink issues, and the advice is free from lawyers who specialise in social security law.
There you go. That's a great offer. We'll give the contact details in a moment. But let's. You've just raised the word debt there, Leanne. So let's just go down the debt pathway. Well, not literally, but let's just talk a little bit about debt now for a moment. We're assuming, Vicky, that it's some of the same issues that we spoke about at the beginning that lead people into debt situations.
You're exactly right, Bruce, and something that I also unfortunately see a lot of here, and I'm sure Leanne hears this story too, is domestic violence, something that we haven't spoken about today or so far in our money journey, but it is something that's prevalent out there, unfortunately, and it does mean that a lot of men and women are facing financial difficulty through a breakdown in a relationship such as that in that way. It may be when it comes to the bank helping you, it may be that they'll just go through a budget with you. More often than not, I find that sitting down with customers and getting them to write down their expenses every single day for a month often helps as well, because it gives people an idea of if they can save money, where they can save money. We talked a little bit before about how the next move might be for you to consolidate debts to reduce your repayments. And the bank will make decisions on that based on your budgeting and affordability. The big question that we get often is, how do I know if I can afford a payment? How do I know if I can afford a loan repayment? And the answer to that is, can you save each month an amount equal to that repayment? So if you want to buy a car for $20,000 and the payment is $300 a week, are you able to save that $300 a week consistently and comfortably? If so, you can probably afford the repayment. And it's important that you remember those words, comfortably. Because what the bank, or any bank, does not want to see is that you're giving up your meals every day to be able to afford that payment. And if a mortgage payment is $3,000 a month and your rent is $3,500 a month and you aren't struggling to make your rental repayments, then you can probably afford a mortgage, Bruce.
And of course, mortgage, you know, accommodation, rent is often a large slice, isn't it, Leanne? I think the figure is something like if you're paying more than 35% of your income, your household income, towards accommodation, then you're deemed to be under financial stress. Have I got the figure about right?
Yeah, and I wanted to make the point too that something like 2% of rental properties are within the reach of a person getting the job seeker payment to be able to pay rent. So rental affordability is a real issue.
Very big issue.
Rental link payments.
Yes. Leanne, talk us through the challenge of debt. You know, a person contacts one of the welfare rights centres with, let's say, more than one debt accumulated. It might be a credit card, might be, as Vicky's saying, behind on their mortgage payments or something like that, and there's perhaps something else in there for a motor vehicle or something. What's the approach that you would be taking with them?
For the actual debt issue in general, we would actually be referring people to a financial counsellor or someone who can help them to manage that.
Sure.
But the aspect of the debt that our centres would be helping people to work with is where they've got a debt to Centrelink.
Right.
And during the pandemic, those debt collections by Centrelink have actually been paused as a special support measure, but that's about to be ended, and Centrelink is going to be coming after people with debt recovery for all of those debts that have been paused during COVID. So our centres are starting to see that, you know, much more ramped up and aggressive debt recovery practice, and to actually feed into what we were talking about before about domestic violence. That can be a real trigger into Centrelink debt, because women who are experiencing, well, it's mostly women who are experiencing domestic violence, can sometimes be pressured into giving false information to Centrelink by a violent partner, and they end up being paid more than they might have been entitled to if they were a single, if they were a partnered
person. We know what you mean.
And it's the woman or the victim of violence who ends up with the debt, not the perpetrator who's forced them to give the false information.
Yes, that's very unjust, isn't it?
Yes.
Which goes to your name, Economic Justice Australia, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Leanne, just before we go to our next song, would you like to just share, you said you've got a whole lot of case studies. We need an extra hour to go through all of them, but maybe just would you like to just share one of those with us?
Yeah, so this is really a conglomeration of different case studies. We've actually put a whole lot of them up on our website in our Rights Review newsletter in this week. But we're doing a piece focusing on people with psychiatric or mental illness conditions who have trouble accessing the disability support pension. So we see people who have post-traumatic stress disorder from childhood sexual abuse or from domestic violence. We've got refugee clients who've suffered torture and trauma. They have physical disabilities or injuries as well as mental illness or psychiatric injury, but they find it difficult to gather the evidence required to get onto disability support pension.
Right, right.
So they're struggling on the job seeker payment where they've got to comply with all these mutual obligation requirements like looking for work and going to appointments. And they often end up in financial hardship because they just can't comply with all these requirements. They really should be on the disability support pension where they don't have to do all these things.
Right.
There's a really large group of people who are in financial hardship because they end up having their payments completely cut because they can't fulfill the requirements.
Yeah, it's not a good place. We're going to come back after our next song and we're going to talk about the debt solution, if there is one. Where do we go, and what is the approach that we would be encouraging listeners to take if they do find themselves in a position where there are just a few too many debts out there? So here we go. Let's see what Olivia Newton-John's got to say.
Cupid needs assistance. Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Thanks for joining us for Community Conversations. I'm Bruce Argyle, and we've been talking all things money, all things financial, some of the challenges that go with managing our money, and sadly, what to do in those situations, those unexpected situations often where we find ourselves up against it. And Vicky, I'm just wondering, we've got ourselves in a position where we do have some debt, we've got more than we really wanted, we've got it, it's coming at us from two or three different directions, and what's the approach we should be taking?
Well, it's a good question, Bruce, because, you know, Leanne's talked more today about once you're at a point of real hardship. So I know that she's going to talk a little bit more about where to go from there. I guess that I've got some tips for reducing debt, and this can be whether you're in hardship or before you get to the point of hardship. You know, I think we all know what it's like to have debt and not know which to tackle first. So there are a few techniques that people use when they want to clear debts, but some of the options that we have we can talk about today. So paying off the smallest debt first. So let's say you've got a credit card with a $10,000 limit and balance owing, and a personal loan with $1,000 owing. You may choose to pay lump sums off the personal loan first, off the $1,000, to get it cleared faster. And two reasons for this are that from a psychological point of view, it feels like you're closer to reducing debt faster. And from a second point of view, the repayment may be higher on a loan than that of a credit card, so it frees up more money. So I don't know if that makes sense to you, Bruce.
That does make sense.
Yep, you've got rid of your personal loan and now you can focus just on that one debt on the credit card. So a second technique is clearing the debt with the highest interest rate first. So let's say you've got a credit card, or that credit card we talked about pays 17% interest. You're paying 17% interest, or a personal loan that you're paying 7% interest. It's maybe better to clear the credit card first, because in the long run, you're giving the bank less money in return. So, you know, the options are there for you. It really comes down to what you feel comfortable with. And obviously a third option is consolidating debt. Sometimes consolidating debt into one lump sum, which is affordable for you, is the best technique. But the banks, as we talked about before, often know best with this one. You might think it's a good move, but they might not. For example, we probably wouldn't ever suggest that a customer clears a personal loan for a car and puts it onto the home loan, because although a home loan rate is often cheaper than a car loan rate, you wouldn't still want to be paying a car over 30 years when you probably won't have it for more than 5 years. So yes, it's a lot of interest to pay on a vehicle. So it's important, as we talked about, to see the bank early, sit down and have a holistic conversation about it.
So there you go. I hear your early suggestion there, Vicky, rather than letting it, shall we say, expand and get worse than what it was before.
And that's the problem, Bruce. And once you start missing payments or making late payments and your credit rating is affected, it may be too late to be able to help. You know, credit rating is really important to protect, and the earlier you get onto it, the more options you'll have available to you. The bank may be able to reduce some of your payments, as Ingrid said before. If you're ahead on your home loan and you've been making extra repayments, you may have money in surplus there.
Leanne, sadly, you and your amazing team and the teams across the welfare rights centres nationally probably get to see people who are further down the track and are, shall we say, at odds with Centrelink. You know, that they're in very dire financial situations. So tell us what the approach, what your approach then becomes.
Yeah, we're about to see what our welfare rights centres call a tsunami of debt, with debt recovery starting again. And all of our centres are prepared to give people free advice about how to appeal those debts if they don't think that they should have them, they don't seem like they're being calculated fairly. And we also want people to know that they can negotiate a payment plan with Centrelink. They may get a letter from Centrelink that suggests they have to pay it back all at once, but they actually don't. They can actually call Centrelink and negotiate a payment plan that can be a much smaller weekly or fortnightly amount. And, you know, we're going to encourage government to make sure that that's something that goes on notices out to people, so they don't get the kind of shock that a lot of people had when they got, for example, robo-debt notices.
Yes, yes.
Huge amounts that they had to pay back.
There you go. So hopefully people are listening this morning, and I'm hearing the words early, act early, talk early, you know, get some advice or something or other. Ingrid, any other, before we go to our, well, my favourite song, any other general tips that you would share with people who might be listening today?
Yeah, absolutely. Just some other tips to get in early to help avoid those situations. When things are going well, we can make extra payments off debts and save as much as you can, which is pretty obvious thing to say,
but a good thing.
Ideally, in the perfect situation, 20% of your income to save is an ideal goal. That's not possible for a lot of people. That would be an ideal figure. Salary sacrifice into your super. Your employer should be able to give you the option to do that. If you come into a lump sum of money, talk to your bank about whether or not it's the best to have it in a savings account or even put it on your mortgage. You know, an investment account, interest rates are not too great at the moment.
No.
But home loan rates are great as well. So you can either save the interest on your home loan as opposed to earning a little bit of interest in a term deposit. And one thing a lot of people don't know, actually, is that if you're struggling with willpower and you're trying to save, you can put self-imposed restrictions on your cards or some of your cards. So, for example, you can block access to gambling sites or disenable online purchases. So if you are trying to save, but, you know, you see ads and sales popping up all the time, you want to jump on and buy things that we want and don't need, that is an option. You can put restrictions on your card as a little self-help to help you save.
There you go. I did not know that. Mm. Did you know that, Leanne? I'm sure you did. But let's race on to my favourite song and we'll come back and wrap it up this morning.
If I had a little money.
thanks for joining us this morning on Community Conversations. My very special guests have been Leanne Ho, who's the Executive Officer of Economic Justice Australia, the peak body for all the welfare rights centres across Australia. There's about 26 of them, I think, from memory. And Vicky Senior, who is the branch manager of the Community Bank here in Wirrialik, and one of her amazing team, Ingrid Wright. Wonderful to have you with us, Ingrid, as well. A couple of contact details just before we wrap up this morning. If you were looking for the free telephone advice line for the Welfare Rights Centre here in Victoria, I'll just give you that number now, which is 0419 793 652. 0419 793 652. And if you are wanting to talk with Vicky or Ingrid or one of the team here, it's 5961 5644. I think I've got that right, Vicky. And we're going to just wrap up now. Vicky, a quick thought, I suppose, around mortgage help, because that's often a big issue.
Sure, Bruce. I guess I just want to put the message out there that every bank has a mortgage help and financial hardship team. So don't be afraid to ask for the numbers and reach out. I promise they don't bite. It's not a black mark against your name just because you spoke to somebody from the team. The feedback over COVID especially was really positive from COVID-affected customers who did reach out to mortgage help. The ease and efficiency of being able to make changes and the conversations that were had about payments when they were due to be made again, there was no judgment, and there never will be. So please don't be afraid to reach out.
Wonderful advice there. And Leanne, a final thought from yourself. I know you've got lots and lots of case studies. We could have been here for another hour, but we're not. So a final thought from yourself?
Yeah, I just think everyone is only a couple of steps away from being in a position where they need social security support. And, you know, we're here, all the Economic Justice Australia members are here to help anyone who's having an issue with Centrelink. And we're all around Australia. Please contact us if we can help you in any way. We've got specialist lawyers who understand the social security system and can help with your issue.
Fantastic. And that's all free. And I should say a big shout out to Catherine Boyle, who wasn't able to join us this morning from the Welfare Rights Centre. Catherine, if you're listening, next time for you. Leanne, thanks so much for zooming in this morning and for the amazing work that Economic Justice Australia and all of your welfare rights centres are doing across the country. Keep up the great work. Thank you again to Vicky and Ingrid here from our local community bank. And we'll be back next week for the fourth and final instalment, where we're going to wrap everything up in relation to finances, all things financial, money. We're going to answer all of those questions that we haven't had a chance to do in the first 3 weeks. And we look forward to your company again next Thursday.